So, what nothing to do with this. Well, ish. Well, I just want to pray now for our little ones. Heavenly Father, I thank you that there is no bar mitzvah we have to go through, confirmation we have to go through. There is no junior Holy Spirit. You love everybody. And as Dorothy's painting has shown us, you just invite everybody to come in and meet with you. So we pray for our little ones who are here today that you will put your hand upon them, you will take hold of them, and you will fill them with your Spirit. And they will lead us in showing us what you can do. Amen. Amen. Okay. Secondly, thank you, Dorothy. She's disappeared again now. As I'm speaking, I think you could try and look up there a bit. We'll also look at this, because the title is What Now? And we have been led by the Lord to expect new things, great things. From the time we moved here from Windsor, it has been hard and maybe a little barren at times. But over the last couple of years, he has been promising and delivering new things, great things. And I'm going to go through some of those in a minute. But I think this is where we are right now. So here's the amazing thank you. We've been discussing this all week to get it ready. Not. So it's almost as though somebody else has planned it. This is where we are. The gate is open. We are invited to come in to what God has got for us. And it is amazing. Yeah. This is a gate that cannot be shut. Okay, I know this is what Dorothy said at the beginning, but just say it again and bear that in mind while I go through this, because I could almost sit down and say, look at that, remove what she said, because it's... Okay. I said good morning, I said no. Right, I would like to go back and look at some of the things that God has said to us from even before when we got here, when we were still in Windsor. So if I could have the first slide. Florence shared this at the beginning of a worship time not long before we came here. And you can see why. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, this hasn't happened. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And she encouraged us, whatever we were facing at that point, we were going to worship God, so let's get on and do it. And it was great, lovely time of worship we had. But it just struck me at that time, and I know I've shared this a couple of times since, that I thought this was a word for us coming into Britwell. Because although when we got here, it was all a little bit barren, yes, and it's been difficult at times, we needed to see what God was promising us. The fig tree was not budding, but there was a fig tree. There were no grapes on the vine, but the vines were there. Yeah? The olive trees were there. The fields were there. They were empty, but their fields were there. There were no sheep in the pen, but the pens were there. There were no cattle in the stalls, but the stalls were there. And God was inviting us to come into Britwell and fill that up. Yeah? And he was going to bless us, and all the things that aren't there, they were going to be there. And over the last couple of years, we've heard the promises, we've seen some of them, and it's building and building. I want to carry on going through some of those. So, thank you. Next one. This was shared with Colin, shared this to me, and I really thought this was another one for Slough River. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So the heaviness, the burden, the barrenness, if you like, was going to be destroyed because of the anointing oil, the spirit that was going to come. And this is, I really love this. Another translation, the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Yeah, so you ladies might not be quite so pleased about that one, but it's the same sort of original word. You just need to look at it as slightly different. If you can imagine a yoke on your neck that is there, you know, but your neck gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the yoke cannot contain it anymore and it is smashed off. Yeah? Now, that is not a physical getting fat. It's the anointing oil. It's the Holy Spirit in us, building us and building us and building us until this darkness can't take it anymore and it is snapped off. This is battling forces that are not flesh and blood. This is forces over Britwell and Slough, and it is going to be shattered. And we will go in and we will take it. For Jesus, for Jesus. Thank you. Next one. I think I'm not even going to look at it. Okay, Isaiah 30. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in the broad meadows. Yes, again, we were given this. Again, this is going back to that one in Habakkuk about all this thing is coming. Come, all you are thirsty, and come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. You will delight in the riches of fare. It is all coming. And I really thought this was quite good because of this bit. You who have no money. You know, as a church, we know we are not the richest in the world, and occasionally we struggle for this and that. It's not important. We don't have to come and have money. He is going to provide everything we need. Thank you. Yeah. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Some of you probably remember, I shared this last year on the 24th of September. It just sort of struck me and I thought, oh, wow, this is a word for us. And then I noticed that the day I was going to be sharing it was the 24th of September. So I got this bit. I got to share that. And then realized this is the day. And since that day, I believe God has been moving and building and building. And that has gone on from that and to our desire to fast and pray over Lent. Yes, and really seek his face and move things and break through. Okay, and the next one. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Now, all these things have been shared either by myself or other people. I've gone back to, it's the same thing over and over and over again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, thank you. Next one. And then we started the 40 days of prayer and fasting this Lent. Again, God saying, seek my face. I have so much for you. And we've got Julie's picture. The dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. Yeah? So these are all now that people in the church have had during this year in the time of prayer and fasting. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It now springs up. Do you not perceive it? So much goes with that. Look and see it. You can see it. It is available for you to see. It may be small. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And Dorothy said, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. I think the rocks are iron are a good thing. Not that they're going to be so hard you can't do anything. But you can get minerals, you can get copper. All the resources you need are going to be there. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Yes. So get ready for that praise because it's on its way. Yeah? I really loved what you said this morning, just one little phrase that came out and struck me about that you and your sister were delayed. I thought, what a wonderful way. Just something that it was there, it was ready, it was waiting, things got in the way, but God had his plans and his purposes. Delayed, but it was coming. It is coming. It's coming. And then Barbara, asked us to be encouraged, keep on building with whatever God has put in your hands. Yeah? And I think we're sort of moving now on to the next. She was talking about Noah and how odd and weird it might have seemed to those people around him. Yes, but what has God given us to do, to build with? And also in Nehemiah 3, where everything has been delayed, the temple is, or they've gone back to rebuild the temple, but it's not really happening. And then Nehemiah comes back, and it gets, I think it's something like in 6 months, they've done what they couldn't do in 3-4 years before. Because he organized them to do the bit in front of their house. He said, everybody, right, you live there, you go and sort the wall in front of your house. And if everybody does that, the wall will be rebuilt. So that everybody knew what they should be doing, they did the bit where they were. Yes. So Zadok, opposite his house. Hananiah repaired another section. Next to him made repairs opposite his living quarters. And that's just a little bit, just to give you the idea. And then the next person did it by his house. And the next person did it in front of where he lived. So the question is, where do you live? What is around you that needs fixing? Because that's your commission. Fix it. Yeah? What has God done? What has God put in your hand? And if we all do that. Okay, so I'm zooming through this in all the wrong order and missing bits out. Okay. As we heard in so many of the testimonies last week, we need to do the small things where we are and let God make them big. Yeah? We need to carry on sowing that seed that God, so that God will water it. So what has God put in our hands? What have you got? Okay. I have a quiz. This is, what has God put in your hand that you might not think was a lot? We'll start with something easy. Anybody want to volunteer? Come on, be brave. Remember, I'm used to talking to 8-year-olds, so it's fine. What's this one? Loaves and fishes, yes? 2 loaves and 5 bits of bread. And that wasn't even the disciples. They went and borrowed that from somebody else. I use the borrowed word politely. What have we got? We've got nothing. Go look, what have you got? Still got nothing. He's got 5 loaves. Okay, well, do you mind? Maybe the boy came up and offered it. You don't know. Okay, another nice easy one. Come on, be brave. You're allowed to be wrong. No, good try, yeah. Bottom two, the biggest clue. Old Testament, Judges. Gideon, well done, yes, Gideon. So Gideon, he managed to get this great big army, it was too big. So what did he end up with? Torches and pots and trumpets and 300 men against an army that was so big they couldn't even begin to count it. It wasn't enough. God made it big enough. This one's quite hard. Stuff of, yes, but who held it? Well, I was thinking of Moses, but we'll go for that. Yes, God said to Moses by the burning bush, what have you got in your hand? Well, I've got my shepherd's crook I've been using for the past 40 years to look after the sheep. That'll do. That was what he used for his job. And suddenly it was going to be totally turned around. That's what he split the sea with. That's what he astounded Pharaoh with. And it was full of oil, but not a lot. The widow, yes, who was going to just kill herself and her son, yes, because They were going to starve to death. They had nothing. All they've got is a little bit of oil. It was enough. She poured that out, and it just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. So four examples of people who had not a lot, not enough in one sense. So we cannot say, but I've only got this. If we use what we've got, the reason why we've got it is because God provided it for us, so that when we use it, he will take hold of it and do something amazing with it. Okay, so that's what we've got. What have we seen and heard? When I started looking for these a while ago now, I was quite taken aback. So, if we have a look at the first one, we bounced. Yeah. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralysed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you, get up, roll up your mat. So he got up. Mind you, another story that he'd seen Jesus do. Yes, they brought the man, they opened the roof, let him through. And Jesus said, get up your mat, you're healed. Your sins are forgiven as well. But Peter was there. Peter saw that. And now he sees this man on a bed, and the Holy Spirit obviously, Jesus did that. I can do that. Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. God can do that through me. But it was a story he'd already seen. It was an event he'd already experienced before. And so he could use that. What have you experienced? What have you seen? Who have you seen healed? If you've seen it, it's the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. You can do the same thing. You can pray for that to be healed again. Thank you. Next one. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they said two men to him and urged him, please come at once. She died. Not, she's a bit sick. Let's get Peter here quick because he heals her. She died, so they sent for Peter. Mind you, another story when somebody died and it was too late. But Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying. That's another story, wasn't it? When Jesus went in and everybody was stood around crying because she was dead. So Peter sent them out of the room when he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. Now, the reason I love this, and I think Peter must have been thinking of it, can anybody remember what Jesus said to the woman, the little girl who was dead? Talitha, cum, get up. And this is Tabitha. Now, if he was there, he'd gone into the room, everybody crying, the little girl's dead, it's too late, and he saw Jesus, because he was one of the people who was there, say, Talitha, cum. Little girl, get up. And he's in there. All the women cry. He sends them out. And he says, Tabitha, cum. Tabitha, get up. It doesn't say get up because it didn't speak English. Yeah. And it's so... He must have been thinking that. Again, he'd seen it. He believed it could happen again. What have we seen? It can happen again. And then he called for the believers, especially widows, and said, look. Just like Jesus had done. Thank you. Yes, quite a long one. This is Paul going on his first journey over to Cyprus, and they came to Paphos, and the Roman there is quite interested, and he says, come and tell me about this stuff. But there was... Elymas, a sorcerer, a magician there, was there. He'd obviously been advising this Roman, and he was contradicting them and just trying to stop them listening to Paul. And I can imagine Paul sort of arguing a bit. And finally, Paul being Paul has had enough. He said, what are we going to do to stop? And now, when God wanted Paul to stop and listen, what did he do to Paul? He knocked him off his horse or donkey or whatever and made him blind. Now, he could have struck him dumb. Yes, could have done all sorts of things. But Paul knew he had seen God blind somebody. Him. He had really good evidence of that. It was him. So that is the first thing he thought of. You will not be able to see. That'll shut you up. It shut me up. 3 days. Yes? Said Paul. I'm not shut me up. Nothing can shut me up. That's fine. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time. Not forever. Because he wasn't blind forever. He just not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand, which is what they had to do to Paul. But can you see again, these people, what have I seen? What has happened? That can happen again. Okay, thank you. The next one. All right. Amazing. This Ian put this on the Slough River site, join our prayer and fasting. Three or four people apparently told him, oh, I've just found that. I just saw that. I was going to share that. So this really is a word for us from God, I believe. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Song of Songs. It's so intimate. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked you to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. I just remind you of the picture. Now is the time. I want you to enter in. I have so much for you. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. And the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth. That's the Holy Spirit. And left it bright with blossoming flowers and clouds in the sky that are going to grow. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you. The footnotes on that one say the cooing of doves happens during harvest time. So cooing of doves is synonymous with harvest. And guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. Just like we had in those other words. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. Yes. This is the same thing over and over again. God is saying, are you listening? It's happening. Get ready. It's going to be amazing. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is change in the air. And there certainly is. Right. We are in for such an exciting time for River Slough and for Britwell. What are we going to do about it tomorrow? Oh, right, I missed them. Sorry, can we go on to the next one? I have missed a little boy. That is amazing. And I don't want to bring it down, but just underneath that bit in Song of Songs, we have, I know my lover is mine and I have everything in you. For we delight ourselves in each other. But until the day springs to life and the shifting shadows of fear disappear. Turn around, my lover, and ascend to the holy mountains of separation without me. Goes on, I'll come away another time. That is directly underneath. So the lover, the bride, is called, come away with me. It's ready. I've done all that. And she replies, it's not quite ready. I can't see it yet. I'll come away another time. We have that choice. We can say that. Not now. I'm not sure Britwell's ready. I haven't seen that cloud. And then straight afterwards, night after night, I'm turning on my bed of travail. Why did I let him go from me? How my heart now aches for him, but he is nowhere to be found. We can miss out. we don't go through that gate. He won't make us, and the gate cannot be shut. It's a warning. It is a warning. Before we go on to that, there is, if you look, about another 10 verses down, she does find him in the end. So it's not a once and for all. If we mess up, he's there. Okay. I know people standing at the front talking to congregations are supposed to say, and this is my favorite psalm, this is my favorite parable, this is so amazing that I want to share it with you. And this is not my favorite parable. I did not like this parable. Some of you may be able to guess why. It's the parable of the talents. He's going away, so he gives one person five talents, another two, and another one. And the person with five talents, as I'm sure you know, invests it and gets another five. And a talent, in today's money, is about £1 million. Yeah? I mean, it's very hard to compare, but it's about £1 million. So £5 million. Hey, George, £5 million. Look after it. I'll be back. When you come back, I want 10. Yes? And why does everybody pick on you? It's because you sit at the front, isn't it? Every preacher up here says, and George, yes? It's that friendly open face that does it. And George won't mind. Yeah. Another one gets two, and another one gets one. Yeah? And you know the story. The one they come back, the one who got five has doubled it up to 10. The one who got two has doubled it up to 4. And the king, the master, is so pleased with him. Well done, you're going to get so much more. It's going to be brilliant. And then the one says, I was scared because I know you were hard and I buried it and did nothing with it. And I always felt that was me. I'm sure that's going to be me. Don't like this one. So then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have at least some interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. Or to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. So, as I say, I didn't really like this one. And then a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago now, it suddenly struck me that that is not what this is saying for me. What this is saying is, don't go to the end. The end is not yet. Every morning, that man woke up with £1 million. Every single morning, and every single morning, he decided to leave it buried in the ground. Yeah? Now, I'm not sharing this because I've sorted this. I think half of mine is still buried deep in the ground, and I've got a map somewhere, and I might dig it up one day. But every single morning, you have got at least £1 million of kingdom glory at your disposal. It's there. He's given it to you. What you do with it is entirely up to you. And if you use it, it will increase. Yeah? And there was nowhere in this story where he gave it to somebody and when he came back, he said, well, I invested it. I worked really hard. But things just didn't go right and I lost it all. The only way you can not be successful is by not doing anything with it. Because this is kingdom money. If you use kingdom stuff, kingdom goes from glory to glory. There is no other way. It is increase and increase. Or staying still. So this morning, I got up with £1 million of kingdom glory. Tomorrow morning, I will get up with £1 million of kingdom glory that I get to decide what to do with. And so do you. You might not totally believe it, but it's there. The more you use, the more it will increase. By this time next week, it could be £1,156.07, because it will have increased if you use some of it. And again, and again, and again. And those people who used had the £5 million, five talents, I'm sure they didn't walk first morning, invest the whole 5 million. They did a bit, and it grew, and a bit, and it grew, and a bit, and it grew. Like the people who made cakes and gave them to their neighbour. The people who just said hi to that person at work. It's a little bit, bit by bit by bit, and it will increase, and it will increase, and it will increase. You will get further and further in where the water is deeper and deeper and the trees are more and more sparkly. To use the word. Love that. Okay, thank you. Next one. Right. From a piece of scripture I wasn't too fond of to one that's brilliant. So we're talking about riches. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So there are glorious riches, and he will strengthen us, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Yeah. When I get to heaven, that's one of the things I want to talk to Paul about. Really? I believe it, I think. But we can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I settle for a little bit at the moment. Okay, that's how big my faith is. But he said it out of his glorious riches. He's going to dwell in our heart that we will be filled more and more and more and more. And then if we just use that little bit, to him it was able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I can ask for quite a lot. I can imagine even more. He can do more than that. There is no limit to what he can do. According to his power that is at work within us. And we go back to the beginning. Out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen us with power, so that the Spirit is within us, so more and more. And all of this so that the glory goes to Jesus in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. So this is not for back then, this is for now. All generations, forever and ever and ever. Okay, so now what? Title. What are we going to do? Well, I think this sums it up. This is where we are. If I'd known this was here, I'd have brought a little man and I'd have stuck it. Or a woman, or both. I'd put it there. The gate is open. Cannot be shut again. There is blessing here. There is blessing here. There's always blessing. But we are invited to go deeper and deeper. And as a community, we're doing that, and we are going to see amazing, amazing things. So as we heard last week, bake a cake, speak to the neighbour, pray for that sick friend or colleague. Be aware of the attacks you are under, recognise them and fight back. Reject the lies of the enemy, get others to pray with you. We have God's answer to the problems around us. We are the answer to the problems around us. God's answer. Because he is in us. That's what we're here for. When he made Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and he said, right, go out into the world and subdue it. And he gave them the authority to do it. And they mucked it up. And all the story, all the way up to Jesus, is then part of, well, okay, this is how God is going to sort it out. And it struck me recently, I wasn't going to say this, thank you. God gave us authority as man, gave Adam authority in the garden. And he mucked it up and ruined it and passed that authority on to whatever. Jesus came back and took back the authority on the cross. I can say this without crying. The first thing almost that Jesus did was he gave it back to us. But how amazing is that? But that was God's plan. God has not got plan B. We are to subdue the earth. We are to establish the kingdom here now. Yeah? Not in our own strength, in God's strength. But that's what it is. He gave it to Adam. We mucked up. Jesus sorted it out. He gave it back to Adam, mankind. That's our job. That's why we're here. It's not to hang on till we get to heaven. Heaven is coming down. There is going to be a new earth here. It's all going to be renewed here. His kingdom is going to be here. And it's our job to sort that out little by little, bit by bit. There are millions of Christians all over the world. If we all do our bit, it's going to be amazing. And we start where we are, rebuilding the wall in Britwell, in your firm, in your school, in your whatever, by doing a little bit with your kingdom power. That is there, isn't it? Your Holy Spirit, that's in you. Yeah? This is not a great big burden. You've got to do this. It is a release of the love that God's put in you to go and love everybody else. So if any of what I've said has come over is, you've got to go and do this. You've got to go and, yeah? Just take a step back. Yes, and feel that love that God has for you. And feel the love that God has for everybody that you see. Even that really annoying neighbor. Oh, even that man in the car who nearly killed you this morning when he swerved around the bend. God loves him. When I'm teaching next week and I've got a class full of 10-year-olds, yes, five of which would drive me up the wall. I know that's not prophecy. God loves them, each and every one of them. Yeah? And love is not irritable. I read this morning. I was like, yeah, love is not irritable. I don't need to get irritable. But it's that. It is seeing, grabbing that little minute, that little point, and saying, no, kingdom come. God's love come. It's all there. He wants to use us. He wants to go through us. Like to finish, it will finish. Florence put on the website during our 40 days, the presence of God can sometimes be carried contagiously by those who seek him. That's from Dirty Glory, if you haven't read the book. We have been in God's presence. We have. Let's take it to others. That's what we've got to do. Take his presence. And Ian... Thank you. And the last one, is there one more? And I just want to pray this over us all. Because this is amazing. Ian put this up. Just to end with, I think. Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock. He is our great shepherd. He is leading us. And by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant. Now there's another phrase you could spend a while thinking of. The power of the blood of the eternal covenant. That conquered sin, that conquered death, that forgave all our sins, that brought us into right relationship. By the power of that, may he work perfection into every part of you. Perfection. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It's maturity. It is completeness. It is what God built you to be. Into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. He will give you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. He won't give me what Paul needs to fulfill his destiny. He won't give Paul what I need. He will give individually what we individually need in the place where we are. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him. Isn't that wonderful? May he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him. Tomorrow morning, when you get up with that £1 million of kingdom glory, God wants to express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him. How does he do that? Through a life union with Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who is to receive all glory forever. It's going to happen. He will. This is not in doubt. It's going to happen. So be it. God bless you and keep you.